You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Carlin with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Later in the show, when are you all just going to learn? And I do say you all just going to learn that Pete Rose is a bad guy. Also, what the Frank Gore signing for the Jets actually means as opposed to some of the narratives that have come out so far about it. But we start with Chris Paul and the Knicks. This is something that's been talked about a lot over the last week and a half. And whether or not that's gaining some steam, I think it just depends on the eyes of the beholder when you look at where some of the information comes from. I think there's some truth to it. I think there's some real possibilities to it happening. And from a Knicks perspective, I understand it. And from a Thunder perspective, I understand it. The problem is I would never, ever, ever, never, ever do it if I were the Knicks. Can we make this just simple? You don't pay somebody with 15 years in the league and who's turning 35 years old $44 million a year for the next 2 years. And that's in essence what you're doing. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Only $41 million next year and then a player option for $44 the year after. Look, we can talk all you want about how the Knicks have to change the culture. And that's why Leon Rose is here. I'm all about this. I'm all about the idea that Leon Rose comes in as the salesman, as the man who is out front to tell players who are free agents to show them that this is no longer the Knicks of the last 15 to 20 years. We are changing things up. We are changing the culture, just such a magnificently popular word that means so very little these days, of this organization. And look, it's not about culture. It's about perception. The culture for any team, generally speaking, is good if you are winning games. That's how you change a culture. You win games. You get better players. And Chris Paul would be a better player. Chris Paul would help you win some games in the short term. And I understand the frustration level of Knicks fans out there. I totally get it. And you should be frustrated. You should be ready to climb up the walls. And especially now, as you have to watch The Last Dance and you get to see what it was like when you actually had a good basketball team, it's got to be even more frustrating understanding how far away you are from that right now. So you might be in favor of just throwing something up against the wall and seeing if it sticks. That's not the way to do it. Leon Rose is here to bring in better players and to show them that the outside perception of what the Garden culture is not true anymore. If James Dolan is staying out of this, God bless him. And I think with Leon Rose's help, the Knicks are going to get to where they need to get to. But understand this. It's not going to be about bringing in a 35-year-old player who, yes, is playing well and probably has a couple of years left in him for $41 million this year and $41 million next year and then a $44 million option the year after. You don't pay that much for leadership and a good teammate. You'll pay a price for it. You don't pay over $40 million for it. Chris Paul could come here in a trade and, assuming it's, you know, a package that's not going to crush you like Kevin Knox and somebody along those lines, you know, they're going to be a better team with him. But this is not about being a better team in the short term as much as you would welcome going to the playoffs in a year or two. I can't guarantee that even Chris Paul, with what he's done in Oklahoma City with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as his second best player, to put them in the position that they are in. What, at the 5 seed in the West, having won 40 games already with 18 some left in the season. And they are a team that got a player that was coming off an appearance in the conference finals last year, only to lose in 6. And a guy that's always been regarded as a very good teammate, very good guy, very good culture guy. It's about winning. Winning changes the culture. And that's what you have to be thinking about. Being a good guy, being a good teammate, still playing well, having gotten Oklahoma City, although they do have some good players, and Gilgeous Alexander is their second best player, I understand that, but they have some decent players. Getting them to where they are, it's an impressive feat. But let's not lose sight of the bigger picture here. And I think if you're going to go and bring Chris Paul in and have him account for that much of your salary cap, you are losing sight of the big picture. It doesn't happen in a day. So if you make that trade and you want to get him here, I look at it and it doesn't do a whole lot for me. It makes me think a lot more about trading for a player toward the end of his career and just watching him fade into the distance. Why would I think with as much tread has gone off that tire that he's got a whole lot left or that he could elevate this particular group of players? One who, would he be helpful to RJ Barrett? Probably. Yeah. Would he be helpful to Mitchell Robinson? Yeah, probably. If you want to bring a player in for those kind of reasons, it's understandable. Not at $40-plus million a year for 2 more years. You can't justify that. You have to be getting a dynamic, great player, a guy who's at the top of his game, not somebody who's fading. And he's had a good year, but Chris Paul still is a ways off from the very best that he was. And you can't argue that it's worth bringing him in here just to make them better, just to put a Band-Aid on it and try to get the Knicks, drag them into the 8 seed, only to get swept in the first round. Like, what's the point then? No, this is about the long term, guys. And I know you don't want to hear it when it comes to the draft. And I know you don't want to hear it when it comes to getting younger because you'll say, what have we been trying to do already? And it hasn't worked out. It's a process. And I know it's an ugly word. And it requires another ugly word, patience. You have had nothing but for the last 20 years, but you've had a lot of incompetent people in charge. This is not one of them. And when you had competent people in charge, you didn't listen to them. This is not one of them. Leon Rose will be listened to. Leon Rose will have good basketball people around him. And first and foremost, he will be an excellent salesman. So while it looks like a good option to try to get out in front of it and to try to get better right away, no, 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 no. I can't emphasize no enough, because all you're asking for is a classic Knicks move. What's that? Overpay somebody who doesn't give you anywhere near what you thought he could. And you can say that his game has not declined that much. But we all know Father Time comes for everybody. Chris Paul's been in the league for 15 years. He has been a terrific player and a terrific leader. You cannot justify hamstringing your entire payroll for 2 seasons for a hope at the 8 seed. You cannot do it. So should they make the deal? 800-919-3776. Do you want Chris Paul here? We get to you in moments. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here to talk. Later on, we've got a lot coming. As I said, I've had it with Pete Rose, and I've had it with you that think that Pete Rose has somehow gotten just royally screwed by everybody. And I've had it for Pete Rose, who thinks that he's gotten royally screwed by everybody. We'll get to the signing of Frank Gore for the Jets just a little bit later on as well, and what it actually means. And apparently, now this could be just me taking the hook, taking the bait off the hook for it. But apparently there is something very important to look forward to this weekend in The Last Dance. We will get to that as well. Julie Stewart Binks, our friend from Fubo TV, you know her. She's been on ESPN. She's been on Fox, and she's very funny. She's going to join us a little bit later on. She came on a couple of, about a month ago, and we had some fun. So she'll pop in. We'll have a few laughs and some insight as well on what she's up to and some sports stuff through the pandemic and the baseball, which more and more you're hearing a specific date for it to start. Show me the data where you show that it can actually happen. Open lines right now for you. 800-919-3776. Chris Paul to the Knicks, should it happen. And why I will tell you that you're wrong if you think it should. 7-Eleven, Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Chris in Staten Island will start us off tonight. Christopher, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Carlin?
How are you, bud?
I'm good. With the whole Chris Paul thing, I don't know. It's could just me being frustrated about it, but I feel like our money doesn't mean nothing anyway. No one's taking it, so you might as well just take the risk on Chris Paul, and you know.
Well, when you say our money doesn't mean anything, meaning players don't want to come to the Knicks?
Yeah, no one wants to come here anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, Giannis, I think he's a free agent in 2 years or next summer. He's not going to come here. Like, we're not going to get any big free agents anyway. So the only way
we're
going to get.
But here's the thing. If that's the case, why did you bring Leon Rose here? Leon Rose is running the Knicks because he has good relationships with players, and he can sell them on making the Knicks great again, to borrow a phrase.
Yeah, well, but that was the same thought process with David Fizdale, and we saw how well that went. They're like, oh, there's no way players love David Fizdale. They're going to come here. So I think at this point you have to force players to get here, like by trades and things like that. And it's not like, and don't get me wrong, you're not wrong in terms of like, yeah, paying a 36 or $40 million for 3 years, that sounds outrageous. But how bad the Knicks are, and it's not like there's no positive to it. RJ Barrett will help being helped develop. Any other players, he would help with his leadership and things like that. And it's only 2 years. Like I said, 40
but
years.
But I can get those
years.
Kind of players to help RJ Barrett. Other guys who are good pros and good veterans and guys that he would learn from for a hell of a lot less than $85 million for the next 2 years.
No, 100%.
Look, it's all about the price tag and the age with me. I'm not denying what Chris Paul is and that he doesn't bring good qualities. He absolutely does. I know the Knicks aren't paying anybody else, but what if the opportunity comes up to go and make a trade to try to get Giannis or to make a trade to try to get somebody else who is more in their prime and wants out of their current situation?
Oh, for sure. I would tell you. I would.
I just don't want to be held up by my salary cap because I brought Chris Paul here for that.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I feel like even with trades, the only hot commodities, I guess you could say, we have, Mitch and RJ are untouchable. But then I guess people still want Kevin Knox because I feel that they feel like they would develop him better. Frank and our picks. And I guess
this trade, you were talking about Reggie Bullock and Kevin Knox. And from a talent perspective, that's fine. You know, Kevin Knox, I don't believe in, and thanks for the call, Chris. I really don't. I haven't seen enough in the first couple of years. And maybe at some point he will develop, and he's still incredibly young. I get all that. But when you take him that high in the draft, you have to start seeing some positive things. And I don't think we've seen nearly enough positive things from Kevin Knox. We saw a regression in year two. Adam in Brick, New Jersey is next on 98.7. Hey, Adam, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, man? Good to talk to you.
You too. What do you got?
A couple of points. An organizational perspective first, and then a thought on Chris Paul himself. When you look in the same city, and what I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, so when you see how Sean Marks came into an organization that was arguably in a far worse situation than the Knicks even are right now, and has been able to turn it around, take on bloated contracts, turn them into draft assets, pivot those into other positives, rebuild the roster with talent that other teams maybe didn't see, and get the team at least to be competitive, right? And to be in a position, and you know, you mentioned culture, it is the culture that appealed to Kevin Durant and to Kyrie Irving to want to team up in Brooklyn as opposed to the Knicks, right? It's all the stability that the organization offered is what made
But here's the thing. Is it culture or is it perception of culture? The perception of the Knicks culture is that it's horrible. And the reason for that perception is, unfortunately, James Dolan, because of everything that has happened over the last, you know, 10, 12 years. But you can change the perception of what's actually going on. Like, we don't know behind closed doors. James Dolan is not making everybody's life a living hell behind closed doors. That's not what's going on. You're seeing an owner step into some places where he just shouldn't and do things that he just shouldn't, and it becomes a mess, and then the perception becomes reality. For me, you change culture when you start winning games, and they needed to put themselves in a similar situation to what the 76ers did. Not that they're in a great spot now, because, you know, they're obviously not where they want to be, but they were able to get great talent at the top of the draft.
Well, and listen, you're 100% right that the Nets never suffered from an ownership standpoint the way Dolan has interfered with the Knicks. The Chris Paul side of it, that I would maybe make the case of the value of bringing him in, and I know that you're saying that the dollar amount is what's so crippling about that. You know, he's 34 years old. You're talking about 41 next year.
He turns 35 tomorrow, in fact.
So, yes, I mean, you're talking about, listen, he's obviously on the back end of it, but would you look at it any differently when you talk about some of the players on this team, like Knox, that don't offer tremendous value for the Knicks necessarily, haven't shown you enough yet? Is there anything that you would look at and say, well, if we traded for Chris Paul, and maybe that involves getting assets as well because they're trying to dump this contract, extending him out, as maybe as silly as it may seem, if you said instead of the player option in that second year at 36, we'll extend you to a four-year deal that averages out to $25 million a year, and now you're talking about bringing in all those leadership and culture qualities, however you want to phrase it, helping teach these young guys, and while $25 million isn't anything to scoff at, it also might be the number that makes sense to say, okay, play out the end of your career and be a part of this, be a part of the rebuild, and at the back end of it, maybe you are a part of some 8, 7, even 6 seeds in the playoffs for the Knicks, and ultimately, you'll walk away being a guy who actually helped turn around something that's been a disaster for, what, 20, 30 years in New York?
Well, there's a lot there. All right, kid, there's a lot there to unpack, and you make some good points, Adam. But here's what I'd say. I still can't, even though the 25 seems like it's a lot less. Thanks for the call. First of all, he's not going to agree to extend that out over 4 years, because what is he thinking? He's thinking that if I actually played well for the next 2 years, maybe I could even get one more contract and get more money out of it. So he's not going to do that, number one. Number two, I think when you talk about it being $25 million a year on the book in 4 years, then that $25 million could still be a big chunk of change taking up room when you might be ready to win, but you've got an older player on your books that you can't shed. All problems. And thirdly, we don't know, given what's gone on with the pandemic, how the salary cap is going to get affected here in the next year or two. I mean, I've heard different thoughts based on revenues and all that kind of thing, and maybe it goes down a little bit or at least stays even. I don't know that it's going to go up. I don't think the cap is not going to be helped by what's going on right now. Rob in Wayne, New Jersey. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, great topics again. You know, the Knicks have the worst winning percentage of any New York major sports team since Dolan's taken over. And he has a way of going about things with signing aged players for their max money, or he takes guys that are off the injury pile and hopes to catch lightning in a bottle like Ed Curry. The problem is you build a team from the bottom up. And that $40 million a year could be spent on, I don't know, 4 or 5 guys in the $7.5 to $10 million range. That would make you a hell of a lot more competitive. than wasting all that money on one guy.
Well, but here's the thought. I'll even counter that. I'll play devil's advocate for a second on that, okay? The Knicks tried to go that route this past year. Let's go get a bunch of guys as opposed to just one or two guys when they found out the one or two guys wanted no part of them. And they tried to sell that, and it obviously doesn't work. You need superstars to win consistently in this league. And multiple superstars.
You see, here's the problem. He's like Sterling and like Bridwell with the Cardinals and with the Clippers, respectively. The money for these guys is about the same. You can't overdo the max, and you can only offer so much for so many guys. And when they look around the league, they say, you know what, advertising on the internet is as good in Oklahoma as it could be. I mean, look at what LeBron did in Cleveland. He didn't suffer anything from not being in a major market. And I think the guys just don't want to come and play for him. I think he's a lousy owner, and I think until he sells the team, it's going to stay that way.
Robbie, he's not selling the team anytime soon. It doesn't feel like that's the case, and thanks for the call. And I don't necessarily agree with that, though. I think that you can find ways to get players to come here, and I think he's done something to do that by hiring Leon Rose. I think that was an incredibly important move, and we haven't seen how that's going to help yet. And I think we will see that that will help. On the David Fizdale thing, I didn't necessarily buy into that as much. You know, I didn't know that David Fizdale was going to immediately influence players to come here just because LeBron said, hey, that's my guy, and he was an assistant coach in Miami. I never bought that for a second. I think Leon Rose, though, could have much more of an impact than David Fizdale ever could when it comes to convincing players about what's going on in New York and why this is a great place to be again. 800-919-3776. Open lines for you. Chris Paul to the Knicks. Why it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Continue. We hit them hard. We hit them often. Next. I enjoy you. I enjoy talking to you. I'd like to talk to you some more, so let's,
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Stand the old school folks who love and appreciate and respect Pete Rose. I understand the thought process of believing that he has gotten absolutely screwed by baseball and should be in the Hall of Fame, not taking anything away from his greatness as a player, even though, as we continue to find out, Pete wasn't on the up and up as a player. So the latest is that a clubhouse attendant in Montreal, who used to work in the visitors clubhouse, when Pete was up there as manager and player, this clubhouse attendant was responsible for corking Pete's bats. He had a machine over in the visitors clubhouse. He was a carpenter by trade and knew how to do it. And apparently Pete told him he had been doing this for 20 some years. So Pete was having his bats corked, and this story just came out, and it's basically been corroborated already. The guy who was responsible for doing it said, well, I can't really talk about that. Anybody can say what they want. But there were other people around it to corroborate it. Okay, Pete corked his bat. I really just am so tired of Pete Rose getting this opportunity to play the victim so often that when something like this comes up, I actually don't feel like we pay attention to it enough about all the bad stuff that Pete Rose did. Okay? Gutty baseball player. Great hitter, tough, wanted to win more than anybody. You know what else Pete Rose was? A guy that slept with underage girls and admitted it and said, what's the big deal? And admitted it a couple of years ago and said, what's the big deal? I thought she was 16, and that was the legal age of consent in Ohio at the time. But apparently that was going on for years, in that he had people to go out and find him young girls. That's one. Number two, he's a tax cheat. Went to jail for it. Number three, bet on baseball. Compulsive gambler. Corked bat. Cheated the game in that respect. And these are only a few of the things that are actually public about Pete Rose. When you're in the industry that I'm fortunate enough to be in, you hear a lot of stories behind the scenes about Pete Rose. And the things that haven't become public are the things that I'm sure John Dowd knew about and Bart Giamatti knew about and a lot of people knew about back in the day. I am not losing 1 minute of sleep ever about Pete getting into the Hall of Fame because, frankly, Pete doesn't belong. He's a terrible, terrible guy. And at some point, that has to count for something. And the only reason that Pete ever wanted to be in it for the last 15, 20, actually 30 years, was that Pete wanted to be able to sign a baseball HOF, which adds to the price of signing engagements. This is how bad it is. I was in Vegas a couple of years ago, and my brother and I are going to eat. We were over at a place called, Mandalay Bay, I think. And we're walking in one of the walkways in between the casinos that connect them. And of course, there are all these fancy stores around, and there's a big sports memorabilia shop. And there's Pete sitting out front, nobody waiting, nobody coming over to buy an autograph. Pete just sitting out front, waiting for people to come and sign autographs, and sign autographs for them and charge them for it. I have to tell you, it's just the worst. Pete's a bad guy. Stop feeling bad for Pete. If he doesn't get in, it's not the greatest injustice in the history of man anymore. Okay? So let it go. Every couple of years, another one of these stories about Pete being a bad guy comes up, and we seem to ignore it. But he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. No, he doesn't. And there were plenty of guys back in the day. Please don't bring up what a terrible guy Ty Cobb was. I know Ty Cobb was a terrible guy. Please don't bring up about how other guys are awful guys. I understand that completely. And it doesn't excuse anything. I just don't care anymore about Pete. I don't. Pete finds himself in these situations and then blames everybody else for it. Yeah, I signed a lifetime ban, but they told me I'd be back in a year. Oh, my God. Guys, just ask yourself this question. Why, 30-some-odd years later, do you think that Pete hasn't gotten in? There has to be a reason, right? It's not just personal vendetta. Bart Giamatti's the one that initially did it. He passes away. Faye Vincent wasn't going to let him in. Bud Selig respected that as well. They obviously know a lot more about Pete Rose than you or I ever will. And trust me, when I tell you, I don't want to spend the night arguing Pete Rose Hall of Fame because, frankly, I just don't care anymore. And I'm telling you, I don't want to tell you what to care about, what not to. But in this case, I'm going to tell you, don't care anymore about Pete getting into the Hall of Fame because I guarantee you Pete doesn't give a damn about you. Pete cares about Pete. He's done a lot of dirtbaggish type things in his life, and he has never portrayed himself as anything but the victim. He's a horrible guy. That's what he is. He's a bad guy. And all you have to do is look at some of the things that have been made public about him to understand that. So I don't care. I don't care anymore. At one point, I was dead against it because of what I knew. Then I softened. It's just like, oh, what's the big deal at this point? Now, ever since a couple of years ago when I was in Philadelphia and they were getting ready to induct Pete into the Phillies Hall of Fame, when it comes out that slept with underage girls and it was going on for a long time during his career. Enough. Enough. When you act like you're a dirtbag, you can't really blame people for thinking that you might be. So he's done all these things and basically admitted it with that and said, what's the big deal? I thought she was 16. Okay. I think we're good here. We can move on from that.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776. You just heard the dulcet tones of Dave Rothenberg. Well, DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg are getting you ready for UFC 249 this weekend with the 98.7 ESPN Sweat at Home contest and the chance to score a 98.7 UFC prize pack. We are asking our listeners to send an innovative in-home workout video that will be judged on creativity, clarity, and length. Make sure to keep your submission to under 30 seconds. Tweet your video with the handle at DCR on ESPN, at DCR on ESPN, and use the hashtag 987 Sweat at Home. 987 Sweat at Home. It's all brought to you by DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg, weekdays 10 to 1 on 98.7 ESPN, getting you ready for UFC 249 May 9th on ESPN Plus, pay per view. I kind of believe that I have to send in a video now. Do I not, Tyreek Butler? I kind of think that whether it's me sitting on the couch eating chips or sweating it out on the Peloton, which is not a pretty sight, I'm kind of thinking that I have to do that. Do I not, just from a comedy standpoint?
But so here's what you have to do. Because, and I say this with all due respect.
I know I can't win, but still.
You've made fun of your weight a bunch of times, so I'm not going to sit here and be disrespectful. But I think it would not be taken seriously if you sent in a video of you working out. Because they'll just make fun of you. Like, that won't get any kind of play outside of just...
Oh, I have no intention of sending something in for serious submission.
But I think what you should do is what you just alluded to, and that's sitting on the couch, you know, eating potato chips, find like the most unhealthy meal that
won't
you can that you can capture in a video, and then send that.
It won't be a problem to find that anywhere in the house. I have been, and I know everybody's saying is, I'm putting on 10 pounds. I haven't put on any weight, but I'm just eating so poorly. So poorly right now, and it's frustrating.
Well, it's because you have nothing else to do, right?
Yes and no. I've got a show to get ready for every day, and I do honestly sit here and spend a lot of time during the day thinking about and mapping out and, you know, coming up with ideas for what we can do. And at the same time, like I tried it, like yesterday, went out for a nice long walk. I mean, it was probably an hour walk around the neighborhood, get my steps in, all that crap. And then, I'm going for a chocolate peanut butter chipwich later that night.
Here's what you do. I have a suggestion. So after you eat whatever meal you've, you know, entertained yourself with, put a sign on the door that says, Carlin, you just ate, and then blank, and then you just periodically update it. Like, you just ate 5 minutes ago. You just ate 10 minutes ago. Just so you can see how embarrassing it is that you're going to your refrigerator just time after time.
See,
in
that's
a given
cute.
Setting.
That's cute, Ty, but I have no shame. Like, that's not going to shame me.
So you don't want to be better.
No, I do want to be better, but I know what's effective, and shame is not something that's effective for me.
You've got to train your mind to be shamed by these kind of things. But I also think, like, I don't know if there's a scientific method to this, but, like, why is it that when you're home, you're just hungrier than normal? Like,
I don't know. It's the same thing as to why is it when you're not doing anything that you get more tired?
Yeah. I want that to be investigated and researched, because I do find myself home and just constantly hungry. Like, my appetite is so much more different now than it was, you know, pre-coronavirus or pre-pandemic shutdown.
Yeah. My appetite's always been, you know, healthy. One other thing here, Ty, I want to give you an opportunity because you were the one that brought this topic up earlier today on our group text about Chris Paul and how much you would love it. So please explain your side, Ty
Butler. Find it so fascinating that here we are, the Knicks, the worst winning percentage since 2000. They've won one playoff series in the last 20 years. The organization that exudes just so much mediocrity. So for some reason, we have found our way to convince ourselves that they are too good for Chris Paul. Chris Paul, an all-star this year. Can I ask you a question? Do you realize the last, who was the last Nick point guard to make the all-star team? Do you have any idea who that is?
I'm assuming it's, Clyde.
It was Mark Jackson back in 1989.
He did make the All-Star game.
Back in 1989, okay. Mark. So you're talking about more than three decades where you've had a point guard not make the All-Star team. That is flat out embarrassing. But despite all that I just outlined, we are somehow convincing ourselves that the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers, are too good for Chris Paul. And you mentioned something earlier that I want to ask you. You said you believe how many years he has left, Chris Paul? You said a couple. So a couple, I'm assuming two or three?
Yeah, but I don't know whether it's two or three, but years on the decline.
But you're saying that you think that that's how many years he has like left in the tank. I just want to make sure I'm not misquoting you.
I think that's about fair. I mean, he's been in the league for 15 years.
Which makes my point, because while everyone's going to sit here and argue that it's so Knicks, it's such a Knicks thing to do, a Knicks thing to do would be acquiring someone who's got 5 years left on their deal. And there's this threat of, you know, they're going to blow their knee out and then you're going to have all this money left on the table where it serves as an albatross. But if he's got 2 years left in his career in the tank, that's all you have left on his contract. So even if you get Chris Paul at this level for another year, it's a win because it's better than anything you have on the roster right now. This idea that the Knicks are going in the right direction, what proof do we have of that?
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, a caller brought that up. They're going in the right direction. Now they're going to build through the draft. Okay, let's look at them building through the draft. Kevin Knox, how did that work out? Frank Ntilikina, how did that work out? Kristaps Porzingis was the last guy you actually drafted who was, you know, who you thought could be a star and turned into one. Let me look at his numbers. He's 19-9 this year. How many minutes has he played for the Knicks? Zero. Yeah. Why? Because you traded him away. So we've gone to great lengths to look at the Knicks through this scope of, well, they're trending in the right direction. Let's not do what old regimes would have done.
I don't buy for a second, Ty, that they're trending in the right direction yet. What I do buy is that they needed to bring in somebody that was a salesman. And Leon Rose is a salesman as far as trying to attract free agents. Now, you make a very fair point. They have not drafted well, and when they did, they screwed it up, as they did with Porzingis. Ntilikina was a complete waste of time. I still do not understand that to save my life, why they took him when they did. I never loved the Kevin Knox move. Maybe he'll develop. He's still young. I understand that. Never loved it.
I've been saying that for years. Maybe he'll develop. He's still young.
I know. I agree. I do think that Barrett's going to be a good player. I do think that. But I think that we're at a position right now where you have to still be able to draft well. You have to figure out ways to get better players here because free agency hasn't been it yet. Hopefully that starts to change with Leon Rose, but you have to draft a couple of good players to make it an attractive place to play too.
And just to go back to another point that was made by you and other callers about the eighth seed, because it serves as no argument that Chris Paul immediately makes you a much better team. You're probably in the conversation. Like, if you do nothing else but add Chris Paul, you're in that conversation for seeds 6 through 8. But others, and then like you, try to argue that they're just so much above the sixth seed, as if they haven't been mired in such mediocrity. No, but you just dismissed it as if, well, I don't want to be hovering around an eighth seed. Compared to what you have been, the eighth seed, you'd be the 73-win Warriors. That's what the eighth seed would look like right now compared to what you've gone through the last 20 years.
So you're okay winning 35 games, but without the thought that you're on the upswing.
I think they'd win more than 35 games. With Chris Paul the next 2 years,
I
would put the over-under at around 41. Look at what he's doing with Oklahoma City now.
He's been great, but he does have other scorers around him. I mean, Gilgeous Alexander has done a nice job. Gallinari scoring 19 a game. It's not like they're without anybody. I mean, they do have some players. He's been great for them. I can't argue that. He has been absolutely great for them. But here's all I'm saying. $41 million this year, 45, or this coming year, 45 the year, 44 and change the year after that.
Who are you
asking? $85 million to maybe win 30 to 35 games and get into the discussion.
Well, see, that's where we fundamentally disagree.
We absolutely disagree because I don't think Chris Paul is going to take this group and turn them into a 40-win team.
I think he makes them an infinitely better team. And you just mentioned, say, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is, you know, doing well offensively. He's got some size so he can rebound the ball. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the guy you have on your roster in RJ Barrett. Like, you're hoping RJ Barrett trends in that same direction as SGA. So could Chris Paul come in here and help develop him as a guard, as a combo guard?
He could help, but I don't think the Knicks are going from winning. What were the Knicks going to win this year? 25, 26?
Yeah,
but I don't think they're going to win from 25, 26. I don't think they're improving 10 games right away with Chris Paul.
Well, you have to add some other pieces around him. But my argument is that he makes you significantly better.
Significantly better is 10 games better to me. I don't think he makes you significantly better. At this juncture, I'm paying a guy on the downswing for leadership. I'm not taking away from what he's doing right now, but let's be fair. He's going to miss 20 games, and I don't know exactly at what point he's going to really start to take the downturn, but the chances are good that's when he's age 36 to 37.
But you're not just paying him for leadership. As I mentioned, like he was an all-star just a couple of months ago. Like, that happened. We can't just remove that.
No, it didn't happen. I don't think my problem with the whole thing is the approach of going and getting a guy. If Chris Paul was 31, I'd be all about this. If Chris Paul was 33, I'd be all about this. He's 35. We're too far down the road. There's not a lot of tread left on that tire.
This is one last thing. You keep bringing up the amount of money, which obviously
$85 million is a lot of money.
And
if that hampers you from another opportunity popping up, that's where I've got a problem.
But see, that's my point. Like, who are you exactly targeting in the next 2 years with cap space? Who is coming to this team? Because we were sold on that this past summer. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. It was a class like one we've never seen before with Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler. And you ended up with Bobby Portis and Julius Randle. And that's no disrespect to those guys, but they were nowhere near what you were aspiring for. So it's not like you're preserving this cap space for anyone in particular. You can still build through the draft.
All right, but to your point, how do I know that in a year and a half, this is not a good place for Giannis to come to?
If it becomes
with new leadership in place, how do I know that they're not going to be able to attract Giannis right now?
In that situation, you know what
I'm not counting on it, but what I'm saying is I don't want to have Chris Paul in the way of keeping me from doing something else. And yes, I want to, whether it's trading for the disgruntled star, which they've talked about before, which hasn't necessarily presented itself, Chris Paul is not that right star.
Something would have to go terribly wrong in Milwaukee for Giannis, who is on the cusp of his second straight MVP, could win a title this year, to go from that situation where they're a 60-game winner pretty much every year to come to the Knicks. Now, if you get to that point, though, you have 7 first-round picks in the next couple of years. You're going to attach an asset to get rid of Chris Paul.
But if I'm looking at
getting better right now, because I don't care about the future, I just want to see this team be better right now without mortgaging the future. Chris Paul doesn't exactly mortgage the future.
I get what you're saying. This situation could look a hell of a lot different a year and a half from now when Giannis is a free agent. That's all I'm saying. I'm not counting on it because I've obviously gotten burned before, but I got to give Leon Rose a chance. All right, good argument. Well put together. I give you credit for that. Still wrong. 800-919-3776. I love you, Ty. Well done. Well done. Are you satisfied with your argument?
I'm very satisfied. We can agree to disagree. One of us is clearly wrong, me, and the other, one of us is clearly right, me, and the other one's clearly wrong. That's fine.
I think you had it right the first way.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.